Welcome in on a Monday. What a weekend, or what a week ahead. Heck, what a year it's been for Michigan, as everybody knows. It's going to feel like a celebration week with the spring game going to be happening on Saturday as the defending champs hit the field for the first time in front of their home crowd. Everybody's going to have big smiles on their faces and going to be excited to be back at the Big House or wherever you may be. Just flip it on national TV and watch the defending national champs go through the paces in front of millions watching at home, or how many ever decide to go down the corner of stadium in Maine. That's what kind of week it is, and it's great to be here on the Maize and Blue Review, being able to cover it and getting ready to see it all unfold. Now, that's where I'm at. Pretty excited about all of it. Beautiful weather out there. I got to imagine that anybody, you know, if you're, you know, a lot of people have to work, so that could put a little bit of a damper in your plans. Like, I was going to say that all the golf courses just have to be packed today after a Masters weekend, and likely they are. You'd be out there if you know, you didn't have to work after a weekend at Augusta. It's probably always like that after majors, but you know, when you get weather like this and then it comes out after a Masters weekend, it's just everything's in full bloom, and you know, I don't know if you're pinching yourself, you know, you're glad you're alive and all that. That's where I'm sitting here on this Monday. We're going to talk about the Michigan spring game as we zero in on Saturday. And just like when there was the combine in Indy and it ended up, you know, being a celebration of Michigan's national championship, it was a victory lap there in Indianapolis. And then, oh, just a couple Fridays ago, Michigan's Pro Day, it had the same feel, a victory lap. All of the Wolverines, all of the champs down there, former coaches and everything else, ended up being a great Friday. We'll talk about Michigan's spring game, what to look at, what to look forward to, and all of that. And, oh, yeah, you know, the pessimists about, oh, yeah, there's nothing going on with the spring game, can't learn anything. We'll address that. That's always on people's mind as well. People get all geared up, act like this is a national championship on Saturday. Well, you know, it's not quite, but, you know, considering it's the middle and now, you know, close to end of April, you know, it's all you got. Now, Michigan's biggest rival, Ohio State, they had their spring game over the weekend, and I did not watch it live. But last night, I tuned in. I taped it. And I was able to watch the scarlet and gray. And like, I don't know what I heard more of, people referencing the team up north or Buckeye Nation. They love to talk about Buckeye Nation. And that's where we're going to start. I'll give you my thoughts on what I saw down at the Horseshoe. As always, a chance for you to weigh in with the feedback if you're watching this live. I get to that in real time. See what the people are thinking. See what the people thought of the Buckeye spring game and looking ahead towards the Maize and Blue scrimmage coming up on a Saturday. And if you're somebody that's watching this or listening to it after the fact, no. Now, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2 o'clock, ripping it off and getting after it as best as we can. I put some notes down for the spring game as I was watching it. You know, overall, when you're thinking about Ohio State, you know, they had 80,000 there, and Ryan Day was down on the field, and so was Joel Klatt and Jenny Taft, and Klatt was right there with Day with a microphone, and Day was able to hear the broadcast crew of Jason Beniti, the Tigers announcer, who took the doubleheader sweep off to head down to Columbus. And then Urban Meyer was up there and the former Notre Dame quarterback Brady Quinn. So it was a big to do, you know, with the game being on Fox National and all that. But Ryan Day, they went down to him, and Day said that the season is all about beating the team up north and winning a national championship. So, you know, you're a Michigan fan watching that, and you didn't have to wait too long for them to say, hey, I wonder what they're thinking about Michigan. Well, they are thinking about beating Michigan. Now, they're always thinking about beating Michigan. And so when they lose 3 years in a row to them, and then they're back for the first time after having Michigan destroy their season, of course, with everything they have, they're thinking about, you know, Michigan. And then Urban Meyer with that assembled broadcast crew, you know, up in the press box. First thing Meyer says in his opening remarks when Benitti's like, well, coach, what are you thinking? He's thinking urgency around Buckeye Nations. And they've showed that with the way that they've shelled out the money. And they're thinking about the team up north. And I don't know about you, but every time I see and hear any of the, I didn't even know the TTUP acronym just till a year or two ago, when it kept showing up here on the podcast. And I'm like, what is that? Well, there are the Ohio State fans jumping in. That's their thing. They love it. When I see it after 3 years of smacking Ohio State upside the head, and I hear Urban Meyer not able to say Michigan, It the first thing that it says to me, I think it's great for Michigan. It shows that Michigan is in their head. Now, I don't know how an Ohio State fan, I'm not trying to crawl into an Ohio State fan's head, but when you guys can't even address and can't even, you know, oh, it's cute. I mean, put a little X's out. I get all of that. But, man, when you got the coaches and all the coaches and none of the players, they can't say Michigan. Man, Michigan is in your head. More on that coming up. But, yeah, it's urgency. Ohio State's got, you know, the greatest team that has ever been assembled again. And, you know, they're going to be either the top-ranked team or the number two team in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that, you know, watching it. A couple other things in front of the 80K down there in Columbus. Urban Meyer, if it wasn't enough talking about Michigan in his opening remarks, then there in between the first and second quarter, they put a big graph up about tangibles and intangibles. And Urban Meyer, this is what it takes to go from a good, I don't know what it was, a good team to a great team or a competing team or a national championship team, however it was something along those lines. But as Urban Meyer was going through it over on the left, he mentioned as a tangible offensive line, and he mentioned the team up north or the defending champs. I'll paraphrase how he said it. You know, yeah, you need one of those offensive lines like the defending national champs had that really can control the line of scrimmage. And then he went over on the other side of the intangibles. He's like, and it was the number one thing listed. And I know they've been talking about it for like 2-3 years. And a lot of people, that's all they say is Ohio State's not tough. That's why Michigan's going to beat them. And if you just wanted to throw out one word, I wouldn't disagree with you. If you said, why is Michigan being able to beat Ohio State 3 years in a row? And if you said toughness, one word, I'd say, you know, that's okay. I'll buy it. And right there for Urban Meyer on his intangibles was toughness. And he said, yeah, that team up in Ann Arbor, they had that. So, you know, Meyer couldn't get away from Michigan. And then at the half, you saw a lot of the stars. You saw these superstars and all of these All-Americans that were assembled down there. I mean, it was something else seeing all these scarlet and gray superstars down there. And then Urban Meyer at the half after Brady Quinn's like, well, it's a spring game. You know, you're going to have some issues. And then Meyer says, one of OSU's biggest concerns is its O-line. And they are, quote-unquote, getting exposed a little bit. And, you know, there was, you know, Ohio State's, again, got a lot of talent, but their offensive line, you know, they made a note, well, they brought in a kid out of the transfer portal from Alabama, but it's still their of all of the bells and whistles and everything that they have with the All-Americans and the money they shelled out in the transfer portal, They've got a swinging gate offensive line. And, you know, that's from their biggest fan, Urban Meyer. When he's telling you that, you know, they're getting exposed out there, you know, a little bell went off for me watching old Herbs talking about, hell of a team. But, you know, offensive line and toughness right now, they might not have that. So that's something that, of course, you should be aware of. You already are aware of it. I was aware of it, too. But, you know, to see it play out, this, you know, Ohio State's got really good defenders as well. And they were just pouring in on the poor quarterback. And even Day, you know, as he was sitting there with Klatt during one of the things, he said, well, we got to do a better job protecting him there. Yeah, because he almost got killed. Even though they're out there just playing patty cake, he would have been killed if that was real football instead of the scarlet and gray patty cake game. So, yeah, my biggest takeaway is that Ohio State, great players all over the place. I like it's just a who's who out there. You follow recruiting. It's just like, oh, my God, these guys are superstars, but they can't protect. And you don't get a protection up front. You don't get an offensive line. Then you're not winning anything. And you're not beating Michigan. I got news for you down there at Ohio State. And here's some of the other – like they couldn't have just talked about Jeremiah Smith, the number one – well, he's the number one recruit in the nation. But, I mean, they paraded him out there. Like, he is a combination of Jerry Rice and Randy Moss in the scarlet and gray. You know, forget Maserati, Marv, and JS, all of these guys. This is the one. This guy. He's the talk of camp. Urban Meyer couldn't stop talking about him. Brady Quinn, oh, I guess is, you know, from, I don't know if he's from his neck of the woods or he goes down to the Sunshine State a lot to watch this particular high school that this kid was at, but Brady Quinn compared him to LeBron James. I mean, they think this Jeremiah Smith is great. And, you know, they were featuring him a little bit. And he didn't do anything where you would say, you know, he's not great. He also didn't, you know, bust out, look like, you know, Randy Moss or anything, you know. And but Igbuka did. He had a great catch. And, you know, they and Henderson and Judkins, they kept saying this is the, you know, maybe the best combo of running backs in the country. And, you know, you can't argue about that. And then Igbuka, who's an All-American, was a little banged up last year, but we know he's great. And then there's Jeremiah Smith. I guess it's just, you know, instant All-American, just add, you know, playing time. But, you know, just quite a collection of talent. Downs and Sawyer and JTT and Burke, who I'm not as high on. He got ran over a couple of times by Michigan, and including J.J. McCarthy at the goal line last year. But, you know, all of that being said about just how great a collection of players that Ohio State has, it's nothing new. Maserati Marv was out there last year. Now, Stroud and Maserati Marv were there the year before. Then in 21, with Michigan, had Cade McNamara at quarterback. They had C.J. Stroud, one of the best quarterbacks in the world. They had Smith and Jigba, Olave, Garrett Wilson. I wasn't stunned or starstruck. I was just looking at all these Ohio State players, and I'm like, wow, man, Caleb, now these guys are great. These guys got these great, great players. But I'm like, do they, you know, I don't know, is it a compliment that they always have great players and then haven't been able to get it done over the last 3 years? I know Ohio State fans say personally, I've talked to some of them, they're all kicking themselves like, how could they lose to Michigan 3 years ago with JSN and Olave and Garrett Wilson and Stroud? I don't know. I don't know either. Well, I do know. And it was Aiden Hutchins being able to get into the backfield and put the pressure on him. And it was, you know, Hassan Haskins and the Michigan offensive line and toughness overall. Just get back. Toughness. Put the label on it because that's what it was. So, yeah, they're great. Yeah, they've got all of the stars like they always have. But if you're you don't have Maserati, Marv, but if you did have a Maserati, maybe all the guys that, you know, they had to, you know, get in NIL, maybe Judkins has a Maserati. You have the Maserati and you don't have any wheels on it. It's just going to sit out there. It might look good to take pictures in front of and everything. Come on out there and you know, show your rubber bands and why, but you're not going anywhere without the tire. So that's my takeaway. And I'll get to the quarterbacks, but I do want to get the people involved and get your thoughts where you're sitting at this weekend. Scott is coming up with a preseason top three. He's got Ohio State at number one, Georgia and Texas. He would start Michigan out at 10. You know what? Ohio State being number one. I think what we have to wait is tonight at midnight, the transfer portal opens up. And from now until the end of the month, this is going to change. That's why I've been hesitant myself. I think there's going to be guys heading out of Michigan. I think there's going to be guys heading in. I think all of these teams. And if you watched that Scarlet and Gray presentation, you could tell that Urban Meyer was a little bit spooked of the transfer portal and NIL. He said, I don't know. Who knows who's going where? What's happening? There's still a lot of movement. And, you know, maybe Ohio State, they're going to be down there the panhandling for their fans and saying, okay, you know, and we know we asked you guys for a lot of this, but now we need some tires. Now we need some offensive linemen. So maybe that's happening. Maybe they're going to go out in front of all the, you know, the Walmarts and smoke shops and everything else down there and put, you know, some of those spittoons out there for collection plates. We need offensive linemen. So right now, I don't have any problem with that top three. Obviously, Michigan's got to play two of those. So, you know, that's going to be a tough one. And then Michigan in the top 10. I feel like I want to put Michigan a little bit higher than that, but also I'm not 100%. That's fine because I don't know. Michigan might not even have their starting quarterback on the team yet. You know what I mean, Scott? So, but I you know, it's never early because the day after Michigan won the national championship back on January the 8th, on the 9th, you know, everyone had a way too early top 10 or top 25, I should say. And, you know, that's the way it goes. Ferris running off a couple in a row here. He says 11 players are going to get drafted on offense alone, talking about Michigan. Orgy's going to wing it around like he is Bo Nix. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Ferris wants to know, where will you be? Where can we meet you? Ferris, if you are going to the spring game, the spring game starts at noon. At 11:30, I will be where the War Eagle is. It's the corner of Stadium and Main, just inside the stadium. That is the, what, southwest corner of Michigan Stadium. There is an eagle. Can't miss it. Pretty big. Stadium in Maine, southwest corner, the Eagle. I will be standing out in front of the Eagle, the War Eagle, at 11:30. So if you're there, Jerry Diario is supposed to be there, and we're going to see if we can get Scar. Scar says he's going. I haven't heard that from him officially, so but Jerry says he's going there. So at 11:30, we can all high five, talk about the game a little bit, and then proceed in to the stadium. So that's what's happening, Ferris. I look forward to seeing you by the War Eagle. Scott's predicting a record 16 Michigan players drafted. I put a bet with Scar, and I think 15, Scar went over and I went under. So I'm saying 14, but I hope they break the record. Why not? LSU play two-hand touch. We're going to tackle, smash. I wouldn't get – it's a smart move. I don't know if they're going to be best playing smash. But maybe maybe they'll go live with the QBs a little bit. And maybe you could still smash playing thud, but I wouldn't criticize Michigan if they do what Ohio State did in their spring game. Mark wanting to know, how do I think Denard would perform on this team? He sensed Tebow, Johnny Manziel, Vince Young, Cam Newton, more Milton or Hooker. Ohio State loaded. Five QBs, who's the man, or two out. How do I think Denard would perform on this Michigan team? Well, Denard should have been a running back at Michigan, and Devin Gardner should have been the quarterback. That's how they should have done it. I think that was the best way to go about it. I think Denard, would he be the quarterback of on this team? Denard was an exceptional player, but a limited passer. Oh, a pretty good, pretty electric runner, and obviously a fan favorite. Everybody loved Denard Robinson, but I think his best position was at running back. As far as those other things, who's the odd man out with Ohio State? Let's just look at the quarterback. Howard took a couple snaps and didn't do anything that stood out. Devin Brown, but he did get the start. He was the starter with the ones. They transferred from Kansas State. And, you know, they talked about, you know, the dual threat ability. And we have seen him play at Kansas State. I watched him play the Big 12 championship game against TCU. He's big and he's physical as a runner, and he's got a pretty good arm. He hasn't really jumped out. If they were playing their opener tomorrow, I would guess that Will Howard would be the starter, but it's not a sure thing. There's a lot of Michigan fans, and I don't know if this is true or not. I mean, I have to find out, like, that. It's kind of like a smack in the face of Ohio State. And so but it could be true that Will Howard wasn't, you know, a shoe-in to start at K-State. That's why he hit the transfer portal, and that's why he went to Ohio State. It's like, he couldn't win the job at Kansas State, so he went to Ohio State. I don't know. Ohio State's clearly a step up, you know, with a national championship team. And, you know, so I could see Howard going there. But, you know, there is this, I'll say, narrative by a lot of Michigan fans, you know, he was going to get beat out in Manhattan. I don't know if that's true or not. Like I said, maybe I can find out a little bit more. But, you know, it's going to be either Howard or Devin Brown. I still guess Howard, but neither of them did a whole lot. And, you know, OSU insiders for the practices that they see and what they've been able to determine, it's still a two-horse race. King Holtz isn't the guy. He threw a bunch of picks. Sayan threw a bunch of picks. Aaron Nolan didn't play. Julian Sayan, the five-star, got a lot of burn, but, you know, he looked like a true freshman, five-star or not. They'll be in trouble if they got to play Julian. Just saying. Just saying. If they got to play one of the five-star freshmen, they'll be in trouble. So it's going to be Howard or Brown. Odd man out. I don't know. It must be an injury with Nolan, but one of those guys are going to leave. Everything would point to Aaron Nolan being out. Keen Holtz isn't the one. And then so between Howard and Brown, give me Howard. That's who I think will be the starter for OSU. You know, that would be the guess today. Here we go. We're taking some shots at Urban. You know, that's fair game. You know, what's Urban Meyer expect? People to be patting him on the back up here. There's people talking about two-hand touch. Mark following up on Shoelace. Can a Shoelace orgy-style offense succeed? Many college quarterbacks excelled. Tebow, a young Manziel, but you can run a quarterback with these very physical defenses. Yeah, you can. But, you know, the thing is, running is great, and RPOs are great. But if you're talking about winning a championship, you need a quarterback that can deliver the ball down the field as well. Now, Tebow, his delivery was a little bit long, but he could still throw the ball down the field. And Manziel, for all of the downfall, or for the downfall that he had in the pros, that really didn't have anything to do with his skill set and had to do with his off the field stuff. He could throw the ball, as you know, as much as he, you know, ran all around and made plays and stuff. He could throw. So I want a thrower runner, not a runner thrower. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. What do we got here? TTUN is now TCUN, but I don't read it as cheaters. I read it as championship, the champions of the North. Yeah, I'm with you on that too. The champions up North, TCUN. There you go. I'm with you on that. This is also one of Michigan fans love this one. McCord was better than the 7-5 guard. Is McCord better than all those guys that they have now? Maybe. I don't know. I know that's a look. Howard looks like a pretty good quarter. He looked like a pretty good quarterback at the Kansas State championship, Big 12 champion. They won the Big 12 championship under Howard. And, you know, he played pretty well against TCU, and you can say whatever you want and everything, but he looks like he's pretty decent. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I've said what I'm saying about Howard, so that's it. Actually, OSU uses TTUN. What did I say? Did I get it wrong? I could screw it up. Ohio State fans are obsessed with Michigan. They are. Yeah, I think we know this. Ohio State, the state of Ohio, they've got nothing else going on. They love football. We all love football too, but you know, I like being obsessed about football too, but it is, it doesn't mean more. It's more of an obsession though. I've felt it. I've seen it. It is, it feels like, you know, to me, it feels like if I was explaining it to somebody, it's like, well, don't you want, you know, everybody to be really upset? It feels like Ohio State fans are a bunch of criminals with, and they all are over the line, and they're all drunk and they're all Philistines and they're all ne'er-do-wells. I mean, that's what it seems like. I don't know. And having experience with them down there, that's kind of the way they like it. You know, it is a outhouse down there, and they seem to enjoy it. So it's different. That's for sure. I like passion as much as everyone, but as much as anyone, but those guys. Tim liked the comment that Samaj Morgan made about Davis Warren having a rocket arm and running 22 miles per hour. That's elite. I'm intrigued to see how he looks out there. Yeah, I mentioned on Friday, after hearing what Morgan had to say, that I had talked with someone who was at the Sunday practice, and I said, tell me something about the quarterbacks. He said, Davis Warren threw the best ball all day, threw it like 50 yards, just a rainbow into the end zone. He said it was impressive. Oh, sure. The one thing I know about Davis Warren is that he can throw the ball. I saw that last year in spring. That gets us to like, what can you learn about the spring? I know that Davis Warren has a real nice arm. I didn't know that he could move it around like, you know, the kind of speed that Morgan was talking about. I actually didn't see the quote about the speed. I did see what he was saying about Warren's arm, and I already knew that. Then somebody just told me that, you know, that they liked what they saw last, uh, not yesterday, but a week ago Sunday in practice. So yeah, let's do it. Tim is talking about OSU relying on hype. They do this for recruiting. Yeah, look, you know, I'm not going to – I would like to have the number one recruiting class in the country. I'd like to have the number one player in the country. I would have liked to have gone in the transfer portal and pulled out a guy like Junkins and a guy like Downs. I mean, Downs – Alabama might have two corners taken in the first round. I thought Downs was their best defensive back last year. I mean, he's a great football player. Caleb Downs is a great football player. Now, Judkins is a great running back. You know, these are the guys that they're pulling in. You know, a guy that's being compared to LeBron James is a wow, that's great. So, I mean, it's hype. There's a side of it where Ohio State was undefeated last year. And, you know, I know Day, of course, we're going to criticize him when, you know, he said it. You know, we're right there, one play away. They have been just one play away. Last year, you know, they were driving on Michigan down six before Rod Moore intercepted them. I understand how they feel like they were one play away. Now, I say driving. I mean, they were driving technically, but, you know, they had a shot in that game, and they were undefeated. They had a pretty good season. Michigan ruined it by winning the game the year before. They were undefeated again. And they still ended up getting into the playoffs. And if they had a field goal kicker and didn't shank that one, they would have won the national championship, even with Michigan beating them. And then we've already talked about that team in 21, the assembled talent that they have. Were they undefeated? No, I think they lost to Oregon maybe at the beginning of the year. And you saw their run defense look pretty shoddy in that game, but you know, they weren't a play away. Were they a play away in that game? I don't know. They were 2 years ago. I don't know about them being a play away. 3 years ago, I don't know, maybe a play away. They were a game away from Michigan, but yeah, they rely on, they get a lot of great players, and then now they're getting a lot of great transfers, and you know, they're lining up as much money as they can, and you know, they're ready to give it a try again. And you know, Michigan, the thing I like, you know, with Michigan, and I said it earlier, is that they are in Ohio State's head, and I know this. The tables were completely turned. I don't know if it was for 16 years, but damn near it was over 10 years. Ohio State was in Michigan's head. And their fans' heads. And, you know, it drove everyone crazy. It was true. Michigan is in Ohio State's head now. But, and I have zero worry as I was watching, you know, all of these great players and, you know, Downs and, oh, there's Sawyer. Oh, these guys are great. But I have zero worry. You know, Michigan, in some ways, you know, they've got house money. Nobody's expecting, as we sit here right now, really, for Michigan to go down to Ohio State and beat him again. But we know how this works. If Michigan finds a quarterback, they've got a defense and they got a running game. And if they're smashing their way through a schedule to get down there at Ohio State, Ohio State will have a way to recoil a little bit with big, bad Michigan going down there. If the game gets a little tight. And I just can't imagine, I can imagine Michigan winning there again. That, they might, you know, it's popular online to say that they're in shambles. I could see actually it literally being in the horseshoe being in shambles. What a sight that would be to watch Michigan do it again. It would be what a sight. I mean, each year, you know, 21 was very enjoyable. We all know. And then there's 22, you know, doing, it was so. And then last year, woo! Yeah. Saiyan is expected to be a super deluxe as well. Yeah, he's a five star. the media outlets predicting a natty. Oh, their media outlets predicting a natty after the spring game. I don't know. I didn't actually see that. Travis wants to know why they're number one. Well, they got a bunch of great players. You know, that's why. The poster formerly known as Andres is talking about Davis Warren being the sleeper. No fanfare equals no pressure. I tell you what, when Davis Warren gets named the starter and he's playing against Fresno, there's going to be a little pressure. But I'm not counting the kid out. Kid overcame leukemia in high school. John wants to know when the off-season national parade begins. Well, they hang a banner and get rings. They're getting rings. Doug's wanting to talk about their five-star. Wait, they seem to have five. Five star cornerbacks, six five-star wideouts, and brought in one offensive lineman that we seem to do pretty well in the Rose Bowl. Yeah, I think we get what you mean, Doug. They have brought in a lot of window dressing, but not so much a foundation there. Now you can look over on the defensive side and say, you know, they've got pretty good defense, front seven and all that. But, yeah, when Urban Meyer said that their offensive line got exposed in the first half in their spring game, yeah, what's that tell you? Kine says he's going to the Big House for the first time ever on Saturday. Kind of nervous because I'm not familiar with the process or the area. Well, let me give you a little lowdown so you can have a joyous Saturday. There's no reason to be nervous at all. Well, everybody's going to be very welcoming down there. And if I was you, it depends. Are you somebody who wants to tailgate and get down there really early? I have seen tailgating for spring games in the past, and I think it's a great idea. Now, if tailgating's not your thing, you know, you're like, well, where do you park? There's going to be a mile around Michigan Stadium, there will be people with signs out front, maybe 20, maybe 30, 40, $50 saying park here. And excuse me, the spring game is free, but if you don't want to walk that far, hey, shell out $40 and you can take a little quarter mile stroll. Not that bad. Now, if somebody likes to walk a mile or two, you can park for free. And just go strolling on in. I think that the gates open at 11. Now, it could be 11:30. I don't know. I don't have that in front of me. That's a guess. It's 11 o'clock. But then if you're right there at Stadium in Maine and you see the War Eagle, you're like, hey, there's the Maize and Blue Review. There's Jerry DiOrio. And you can't miss Gar. I mean, he's 7 feet tall. And then I'll be standing over there and, you know, we'll talk about what we're going to see there. So no reason. Real easy drive in. It's a nice, you know, it's a nice, and if it was like a game day, you want to have that game plan, maybe times five, you know, getting ready, maybe top five times the amount that you're going to have to pay for parking, and you might want to get there a little bit more earlier than that and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you're going to be great. All of that is what's going on. Mish, again, are we losing a lot in the portal? Well, nothing against all of the guys that have left. I don't know. I was counting. I forget how many now. I could go through it all, but the big loss in the portal was Keon Sab. Other than that, I think that they're good. But tonight, and then certainly so they have 2 weeks where the spring portal is open. You know, you go through the 15 practices, you go through the spring, you know where you stand if you're on this team. And if you're outside of the two deep, I would recommend, I mean, I don't know, am I recommending you go to the portal? It depends. Like if you're not necessarily there for school, you know, Michigan, like telling anybody to, you know, take off and go to Charlotte, if you've been around for 2 years and you're halfway to a Michigan degree, like, you know, Mike, maybe you want to stay around. Crazier things can happen. Be part of the team. But so everybody's got different things that they value. So, you know, me telling, I don't know how, but playing time's a big one. So, yeah, I would guess that there are going to be a few that are going to be hitting the transfer portal. And I think that they would hit the transfer portal because they don't like their spot in the two deep. Now, look, you could be someone who is a good player and you don't feel like, you got beat out and you don't even want to be second string. You want to go somewhere where you can start. I mean, those are the ones where it starts to hurt a little bit because it eats into your depth. Now, yeah, even a third string is going to eat into your depth, really. But Michigan's going to be able to play the game too. They are going to be able to go out and hit the portal as well and bring some guys in. They might do it at quarterback. They, I think, are going to do it at wide receiver. Could I see a defensive back? Yeah. Quarterback, wide receiver. I would guess wide receiver, quarterback, and a defensive back. I can see those three coming on in. You want to say, hey, what about anybody, you know, that if you feel like you can come in and get a player that can help you. Tim says Michigan starting quarterback is on the team, no doubt, in my opinion. It could be. I would say that there could be some doubt in that. And Jack Tuttle was part of the quarterback room, and I haven't seen a report that says that he has practiced yet. So if you're going to miss all of spring without knowing everything that's going on with the situation, if that's something that could linger, then Michigan might be looking. You don't know who's out there. If Michigan could bring a quarterback in, and like Tuttle, I know it's a seventh year and everything else, but if there is a quarterback out there that you feel that could come in and could compete potentially with what you have, these guys have seen every single throw, evaluated everything that these guys can do. If there's somebody out there in the portal that they think can help them at quarterback, that they're going to do it. I would say, Tim, that it would be the best news for Michigan is if they don't. Like, they go through the spring, and afterwards, they're not looking for anybody in the portal. They're like, we like who we got, and we're going with it. Let's go. That would be the best news. I'm with you on that. Maserati Marv was part of the Cotton Bowl versus Missouri. I don't think Maserati Marv played in the Cotton Bowl. I am not going to panic at all. Will there be 100,000 at the spring game? I said 60, but, you know, who knows? Matt wants to grab this certain player. Wesley loves Michigan fans. Give them credit. They won the Natty, but deep down they are pissed. OSU continues to have successes on the field and off. It's a rivalry, Wesley, so... deep down, what I could tell you about the rivalry deep down is that Michigan has enjoyed almost nothing more than beating Ohio State for 3 consecutive years and winning the Big Ten and then winning the national championship. They've liked that more, but it's been part of it. It's been along the way. Beating your rival, winning the national championship, priceless. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know about deep down. If you win, you love it all. So that's it. John talking about the weather. I haven't looked as closely as you have. Yeah, TF. They're primed to turn on day. Another loss to Michigan. They'll be turning. OSU fans not real happy about what they've been hearing about Howard. I don't know. We'll see. Sean said Aaron Nolan played. Did he? You know, I didn't see that. You know, I watched into the third quarter, and then I was looking at stats to see, like, and so did Aaron Nolan come in and hand the ball off a little bit? I don't think he threatened. I didn't see anybody saying anything about him. Here's the eclipse happened last week, and that happens, you know, once every 30 years. That's the same thing as Hadley. He shows up. If Urban Meyer shows up at Michigan, do you think he'll refer to Michigan as TTUN? If he does, he should be run out of Ann Arbor. I don't know. Are they going to have Urban Meyer? Yeah. They should run him out anyways, Hadley. Antoine doesn't think Will Howard's a step up from Accord at all. All right. Let's see. Arch Manning for the portal. Blake, what's going on with the horseshoes announcing booth? You're going to get, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. It kind of looked like a broken down trailer park. I did see that picture, but you know, when you're spending, you know, $15 million on players, who cares, you know, what your broadcast booth looks like, you know, maybe Irby could do something like that. Pretty sure Saiyan's the second coming of Jesus. Yeah, well, I got a prediction for you. If it's Julian Saiyan out there playing and he's your quarterback, Ohio State's in trouble. How about that? I guarantee a Michigan victory if Julian Saiyan is the quarterback this year for Ohio State. Just saying. They're not going to have the kind of year that they think they are. Maybe they could put Smith. The LeBron James, according to Brady Quinn, maybe they could put him at quarterback. They got enough wide receivers. Put him at QB. Run him around. Get him the ball every time. You want to get the ball in his hands. All right, that's going to do it. Wednesday, Scar will have his thoughts on the Ohio State spring game. And we'll be here on Friday as well, spring game eve. Talking about what to see. Now, look, yesterday it was like, you know, people say you get nothing out of the spring game. You know, it doesn't mean anything. And, you know, there's a point to that, but there's also a point to it was like, saying throwing in front of 80,000 and throwing, you know, picks left and right. Look, the thing about you say, well, the defense, you know, Inky, whoever, McGillicuddy stepping in front of some of these. I could have, what I saw from two or three of those passes, I could have picked them off. I mean, they were ducks. The guys zeroing in, totally locked on, and just, throwing the ball out there. And, you know, I could have walked in front, grabbed a couple of those easy picks, terrible throws about, most of those interceptions that I saw out there. It wasn't anything special from the defense, what was going on there. That was bad quarterback play. So, great talent all around the perimeter and everything else. But as Urban Meyer said himself, the offensive line was exposed. And we'll see if they're able to empty their pockets anymore and bring some offensive linemen. And if you've gone this far, you might as well take another mortgage out on sell the trailer home, whatever you got to do, play the lottery. Whatever Ohio State fans do to, you know, come up with some more cash. But Michigan will be heading down there on the 30th of November, and they're looking to smash, and they're looking to leave the horseshoe and tear it down. And that'll be the end of Ohio State this year on the 30th. And until then, everybody's just going to have put their feet up and kick back and just watch the whole show. That's what's going down. Enjoy everybody for joining us. You know, if the spring game, it's not like you're going to it's not a meal. You go to a restaurant for a meal. It doesn't compare to a meal. It's not an appetizer. It's not a soup. It's not a salad. It's like you sit down in a booth and you look over and they've got one of those little plastic square things. You look inside there and they've got one of those like little small stale like pretzel rods. I'd say that's kind of like a spring game. If you're eating out, or maybe the saltine cracker. Better than nothing. Especially if you're hungry. And right now we're real hungry for football. So yeah. But I'll admit, going to a practice game, it just gets you going. It gets you fired up. And you like football, and you know that a regular season game is everything. It's a, you know, 10-course meal, the fanciest place you can go. You know, a spring game's a little, you know, saltine cracker. But hey, we're hungry. And we'll see you out there Saturday at the Big House. We'll see you Wednesday on the same channel, right? And until then, everybody have themselves a great day. Bye.